This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, here we be on a Wednesday. Players back out on the practice field. We'll get you updates in just a second here on a Wednesday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And the bombshell news dropped about an hour ago when head coach Sean McDermott addressed the media. Von Miller is out for the season after undergoing exploratory surgery down in his native Texas. Yesterday, it was discovered that his ACL ligament was in need of repair. We do not know the extent of the damage, but what we do know is he underwent surgery to repair that ACL, and he is out for the season. He will not make a return in the regular season or the playoffs for the Bills in 2022. So, tough one to take. He had been on IR already, placed on IR last Wednesday. In advance of the Thursday night game against the Patriots. The hope was to have him back after a four-game absence at the tail end of the regular season, certainly for the playoffs. But all of that is out the window now. And, Steve, I know this team fully expected to not have him for the next three games, but now knowing he's not coming back in any capacity on the field, that's like a gut punch.
Yeah, it is. I still think, while this is, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this affects not just the whole team, but particularly the rest of those defensive linemen. They have all stated how big an effect Von has had on them thus far in the season, and I think it's a great opportunity for them to show it. Believe me, Von's probably going to be back here in Buffalo as soon as possible after the surgery's over. He'll be helping these guys try to win. How he can affect them without being on the field remains to be seen. And I think that's a big question. How good can these guys be without him? Like we've always said about this OBJ thing on the free agency thing out there, good players make you better. And when you lose good players, you can't be as good unless something changes. And that change has to begin with the guys that Von left behind on that D-line. We'll see if that can happen.
Let's turn now to some of the comments that were made by head coach Sean McDermott an hour ago as he broke this news that Von Miller is out for the season.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. Before I start, I just want to give you an update. Von underwent surgery yesterday. It was exploratory type of surgery, and it turned out that he got an ACL repair in there, so he'll be out for the year. As an update for you guys, very unfortunate situation for Von, obviously, and our team. We care for him, obviously, like we would any player. We know how much this means to him in terms of playing and being with the team. So we look forward to getting him back, obviously, off the field for the rest of the season and his leadership. And we're certainly thinking about him as he recovers here. So with that, I'll turn over to you.
Punch in the gut is that, Sean, when you hear news like that?
You care about every player, right? And it affects you when guys go down. It's the business we're in. It's a physical game, and so we care for everyone. Certainly, we care for Von in this case, and we'll miss him. But as I said last week, when he was out, it's a time and an opportunity for other guys to step up. Interacted with him after the surgery yesterday via text. It wasn't in person on the phone verbally, but talked to him before the surgery verbally, but not since.
Was the exploratory surgery just simply part of just looking at it? Was it scheduled?
It was scheduled. I'm not going to go into the details, John, with all due respect, so I'll just leave it like I said it. Thanks.
I understand what you're saying, Sean, but just one follow-up to that. I assume he had an MRI after the initial injury or whatever. There was some question as to whether it was a meniscus or whatever. Was that the structure of the ACL, was that in question the whole time?
Yeah, again, I'll just keep it pretty general. Again, out of respect for Von and his situation, it's just he went down there to Texas, had an exploratory surgery. We weren't sure where it was going to go, and it went to that he needed his ACL fixed. So. Yes.
Any further surgery or that?
No. Is the ACL the extent of what the damage was discovered?
Nothing else? I'm not going any further. So.
Is
I know it's early, but what is the timetable for when he might come back next
year? Yeah, I'm not, again, not going to. So I hope you guys respect where I'm coming from. Let's talk about, the team, the guys moving forward, the Jets. I'll be happy to answer any of those questions.
Can you give us injury updates on the guys that are injured?
Yeah, so who do you have in mind?
Well,
Deion, yeah, he'll be out there a little bit today. He'll be limited today. Who else?
Quesenberry.
Similar, yeah. Quez will be out there, limited. I think Reggie will not practice today. And I think that's what Jordan Phillips will not practice, and then Milano is day to day.
Shoulder. And it's not practice.
Not practice. Okay.
You say Milano is day to
day. Day to day.
What does he have?
He's got a leg knee type deal there. So.
He's also not practicing.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yeah.
What did the New England game, the performance of that defensive front, your defensive front, without Vaughn, say to you about, you know, what life is going to be without him and what it can be?
Yeah, I mean, we've got guys that were brought here for a reason. And like I said, I thought they did a good job in the game the other night. The work continues for all of us. And those guys as well. It's a great opportunity for them.
Sean, can you speak to, from an offensive standpoint, going against a defense like the Jets that has such great lockdown corners, can you maybe speak to a little bit about the challenges that brings? Not all teams have two lockdown guys.
The Jets?
Count the nickel, guy.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very talented defense. Everything goes through their front. They've got a lot of, talented players up front, and they roll them rather quickly with their rotation. And their back seven is, when you look at their linebackers, they're experienced players. And Mobley does a good job inside in terms of running the defense and the operation. And then, the corners are talented. And they've done a good job of building that.
All right, that's head coach Sean McDermott, some of his initial comments today, most notably, of course, announcing that Von Miller is out for the year after exploratory surgery revealed that his ACL was in need of repair. He never said that his ACL was torn, but it's clear there was enough damage that surgery was required to repair it. Now, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is reporting that it was in fact torn. And discovered to be torn. That's from Ian Rappaport, but Coach McDermott said today it was just in need of repair. So there's a little bit of a disconnect as to exactly how much damage there was, and we probably won't get the specifics for some time.
The specifics are probably going to come out in the amount of time it takes him to recover. If you have to go in and fully replace the ACL, is different than the partial tear.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of, that will be the litmus test. It'll be next spring, next summer,
so,
next preseason.
Yeah, originally it was diagnosed as a lateral meniscus injury, which arthroscopically can be repaired. You can just snip it in certain cases, and then you can be back in 4 weeks or so, which once he went on IR was presumed to be the allotted time. Now, according to Ian Rappaport, he said the MRIs and other images did not adequately show a torn ACL. So the original plan for surgery was to reposition the lateral meniscus that had moved into another channel while also cleaning up cartilage damage, in essence a scope, which usually takes 2 to 4 weeks to recover from. So the IR timetable lined up with that, and I think that's why they put him on IR in the first place, because he was probably going to have a scope done. But unfortunately, going in there, they find the ACL damage. He has to have surgery on that, and now his season is over. So, costly loss for sure, but Coach McDermott immediately switched gears before the press conference was even over. Next man up mentality, and it has been that way all season long for the Bills, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, Steve. Josh Reed, who's kind of come in here and filled in for us every once in a while from Channel 4, pointed this out, so I'll give credit where it's due, but this is going to be the 12th different defensive lineup this week in 12 games that the Bills have fielded this season because of all the injuries.
You think about it, too. It's a defense that rarely changes personnel once the game starts.
I mean, aside from rotating defensive linemen, yeah.
Exactly. they do the same thing at week in, week out. The secondary lines up when they line up, and certainly sometimes we've seen them rotate the corners in, particularly lately with Tre'Davious White being in and out of the lineup. But, yeah, to be as good as defensively as they have been with the lack of continuity they've gotten from the 11 starters, whoever that may be week to week, is pretty amazing. And you got to give Leslie Frazier some credit for that. And Brandon Bean and the roster, and you know the guys who built the roster. So their depth is going to be tested once again. You know the moves they've made this week: C.J. Brewer being signed onto the roster. You know all this stuff's going on. It kind of when the writing was on the wall, but and it doesn't get any better because now you got Jordan Phillips and Matt Milano not practicing
today. Right?
Today. So, Milano wasn't in the lineup the last time the Jets played the Bills. Neither was Jordan Poyer.
Neither was Tre'Davious White.
It looks like there's a chance that
You'll have two of them back.
All three of them may not be. We don't know what's going to happen with Milano and Phillips yet. So, yeah, it's been one of those years for the Bills. And you got to think maybe, and I'll say in particular, week two when – right after week one in L.A.
Well, Ed Oliver goes down in week one.
And week two
you lose
against
Jordan
Tennessee,
Phillips.
Everybody goes down.
Yeah.
And you go into week three into the heat of Miami with a half a roster left.
Yep.
And, you know, you get beat. It costs you a game. So it's been something that's been going on since the first month of the season, and it hasn't let up yet, and it continues to, you know, position groups continue to trade injuries.
Right. So just to give you the full status on practice and Bills practice updates presented by LECOM, Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. So as Steve mentioned, Jordan Phillips with a shoulder injury, Matt Milano with a leg/knee injury, not practicing today. Neither is Reggie Gilliam. He's also not participating in practice. Deion Dawkins and David Quessenberry are practicing on a limited basis, both of them dealing with ankle injuries. Dawkins missed the last game. Quessenberry, who was filling in for him, suffered an ankle injury early in that game, gutted his way through it, and got through the game. Both of those guys limited today. I was watching them out there. They looked pretty good, moving around all right. So that's at least a positive sign on the offensive side of the ball. So where it goes from here, we're just going to have to see how the players get through the week. The Milano injury is particularly interesting because he played 100% of the snaps. He finished the game last week. And we're now going to be, by the time we play on Sunday, going to be 10 days removed from that game. So where this cropped up, I don't know, because this is the first day of practice.
He's been labeled day to day, not week to week, too.
Correct.
So
there's a chance for him to get
they're
back.
They're giving him, as we've seen them do, they play it cautious, so giving him an extra day off or 2 days off, he may get all the way till game day off. But I would say he's probably the most likely to play, given the way they're handling his injury and the way they labeled it.
Yeah. The other thing that's been pretty cool is, you know, we've seen players working on the side that have been on the injured list for some time. So, you know, hopefully players can get back late in the year as well. I know that Coach McDermott hasn't ruled out a possible return at the end of the season for Jamison Crowder, who had the ankle injury that landed him on IR. The other roster move that happened late yesterday, Marquez Stevenson was activated off IR and then released. The reports are, and the hope is, that he will return to the practice squad. You would have to clear waivers to do that, and I think that won't happen until 4 o'clock today.
Yeah.
So assuming that takes place, I would anticipate they would try to put him back on their practice squad.
Yeah, unless the Giants pick him up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get the sense they would do that.
Yeah, but there's some teams out there that are starved for guys, and a guy like Marquez Stevenson, who's played in the league and has been a little bit injury-prone, who's now getting back healthy, it would not surprise me if he gets picked up by somebody. If they do pick him up, he's got to go right on their 53.
Correct.
So, for his sake, he's hoping it kind of happens. But this time of year, look at all the teams that are starving for healthy, good players. And the Giants still have a puncher's chance of getting in. I mean, they're not the sixth seed right now. They got to keep winning games.
Well, they haven't been winning games of late. They've lost, what is it, three in a row?
Two in a row? And there's a guy who, like a guy like Marquez Stevenson, who might be in a position where they could plug and play him, just like they did with Isaiah Hodgins over there.
I guess. I suppose it's possible. I'm not. I just don't anticipate it. I don't know why. I just don't see it happening.
I think it's a long
shot.
He's
got less
of
a resume than even Hodgins has.
I mean, he played
a couple of games last year.
I don't see it as being like that either, but still, it's a possibility.
Yeah, you never know. And then the Odell Beckham situation, you know, Dallas is saying one thing. Head coach Sean McDermott was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday, and he confirmed that Beckham did not work out for them. He has not conducted a workout on the field in any capacity for either any of the three teams that he visited over the past 4 or 5 days. And Coach McDermott, when asked about that, said, no, we didn't work him out. That's just not where we are right now with this. And so then Rich Eisen followed up and said, well, you know, how do you know in terms of what you want? And he said, well, we just trust our medical staff in terms of the condition of Odell Beckham Jr.'s knee and where it's at. And so the reports now are that Odell Beckham Jr. is headed home to his house in Arizona. He's going to mull things over and then decide where he wants to go and who, you know, he wants to talk turkey with about a contract and playing. So
We'll
just sit and wait for that. The Bills also elevated defensive tackle C.J. Brewer from the practice squad to the active roster using the spot created by the release of Marquez Stevenson, who was taken off of IR, put on the active roster, then released. And so now Brewer is on the active roster, and replacing him on the practice squad is defensive tackle Cortez Broughton. So those are all of the roster transactions that have taken place the last 2 days. So you're up to speed there. And, you know, then as we kind of get into this matchup, Steve, you know, it's one that I think, I know I was hoping that the Bills will be bringing a healthier defense into the equation. That is up in the air right now, at least to some degree.
They didn't have Vaughn last week, and they're not – well, so now here's the problem.
Well, I mean from the first meetup with the Jets.
Right.
I was hoping for a healthier defense.
Right. The problem is now your healthy defense doesn't include – does not. When you say your defense is healthy now, you can't include Micah Hyde or Vaughn Miller, either of the two of them. So now right away you're not the same defense. Even when you're healthy. So you need all hands on deck. Certainly Tre'Davious White helps them in this regard. He's going to get some more snaps this week, you would anticipate. Milano is a question mark. But Jordan Phillips, I think, is a big factor in this game. They need him, and he's not practicing. He was injured. I think he was – we don't know. I don't know what his injury is. We're not really being told. But they need him. They miss that guy when he's in there because he's a big body with a high motor and he soaks up blockers. And Tremaine Edmonds has had one of his best years ever with him, Tim Settle, Ed Oliver, and DaQuan Jones in there doing their thing. So you take that, take Phillips away, and it's going to hamstring Edmonds and Milano's ability to be effective. So it's a ripple effect. So I'm now at this deep a point of the season, Brownie, you say the Bills' defense may be a little healthier. It's Yeah, so
well, I was. I said
you know what
I was
mean?
Hoping it would be healthier. Didn't say it was.
Yeah, exactly. But it will be theoretically with Tre'Davious and Milano on the field. As if Milano can make it, which there's no reason to think he won't at this point. But Phillips being out and Vaughn Miller being out, that changes things.
Yeah,
that changes things.
It's unfortunate. Got to go with the hand you're dealt, and. You know, Coach McDermott doesn't make any bones about it. Just basically says we have to have the next man up philosophy because you don't have any other choice. You got to go.
Yeah,
you got to go with the guys you got.
Yeah, nobody's feeling sorry for you, least of all.
No, everybody's going through it. I mean, the Chargers lost their best pass rusher, Joey Bosa, for the year. There's another team that lost their top pass rusher for the season. I can't remember who it was. But there have been a lot of big names that have gone down this season from a host of different teams. So, yeah, nobody's feeling sorry for the Bills, and much the same way that a lot of teams aren't feeling sorry for other teams, whether it's the Chargers or, I mean, the Niners were all beat up about a month ago. They're starting to get healthier now. So, yeah, it runs through the league. It's just a fact of the game.
Yeah, well, the reasons the Bills are the favorite or were the favorite and still are, I guess, is the fact that they're deep. their roster has quality players behind these guys, and we'll see if that holds up, although it's been tested throughout the year, and the Bills are still the number one seed, so it's been true so far. We'll see if it continues.
Topic of discussion for today, what role player will make the biggest impact against the Jets on Sunday, and why? Going to need some more from some role players with some of the high marquee names out of the lineup. So who, in your mind, what role player will make the biggest impact against the Jets on Sunday? You can tell us why as well at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The numbers to get on board, open line for you there. Or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live. We'll go around the NFL briefly, presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. And we saw that Baker Mayfield was claimed off waivers by the L.A. Rams. That might have some people scratching their heads, but Matthew Stafford is essentially out for the season and not going to return. He was placed on injured reserve, and they don't believe he's going to make it back. They had John Wolford as their backup. He was coming back from a neck injury, played last week, but is limited in practice this week. They have Bryce Perkins, their third stringer, and so they bring Baker Mayfield into the fold. Now, this team's playing on Thursday, Steve, so I think it's out of the question that Mayfield would even suit up in a backup capacity for the Rams on Thursday. But it's clear that they feel they need a body, so they pick him up for $1.3 million the rest of the year.
Yeah. Okay. If he's going to be their backup, that's about right. That's commensurate with what they're going to invest in him. Plus, they get a chance to look at him over the offseason to see if they can salvage whatever's left of his career. Sean McVay has been one of those guys who has had that reputation of getting the most out of his guys. He went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. Most people thought that was the greatest thing since Vince Lombardi. So we'll see what he can do with Baker Mayfield. You remember McVay is the guy who was responsible for a rash of head coach hirings around the NFL. Anybody who knew Sean McVay or was a student of his or a coworker of his was hired as a head coach. He's got a reputation for being a quarterback whisperer and getting the most out of these guys. We'll see if he can do it with Baker Mayfield. And quite frankly, if he can, wow. Because there's a lot of people out there that will tell you Baker Mayfield can't play.
It's crazy. Top pick in the draft in 2018. Washed out in Cleveland after they chose to go with Deshaun Watson. And it might have gone that way anyway, whether Watson was part of the equation or not. Goes to Carolina. Starts some games. Doesn't really work out there for him. The head coach gets fired. And he asks for his release. The Carolina Panthers grant it. And now he's on his third team in his fifth NFL season. So it's pretty wild.
We'll see.
Pretty wild journey.
And we're not going to know how it's going to go in L.A. until next year and then through the offseason.
If he's even there.
If he's even there. But, he's making a ton of money not playing, that's for sure.
Other news out of California concerning the NFL. It looks like after initial diagnoses suggested that Niners quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo was done for the season after the foot injury he suffered against the Dolphins last Sunday, now it looks like he might be okay for the playoffs because his foot will not need surgery. Initially, it was diagnosed that his foot was going to be in need of a surgical procedure that would take him out of the equation for the rest of the season and the postseason. But now they're saying, oh, no, it's just a broken foot. And, you know, once that thing heals up, he could be good for the playoffs. So we'll have to see. I mean, we've got 5 weeks left in the season. We're not going to pretend to know how severe the break is, but you know, you wonder why the 49ers didn't make a play for Baker Mayfield, as many suspected they might.
That might be
the
reason.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
They probably have a prognosis on how long it's going to take for Garoppolo's foot to heal, and if they feel they've got even a remote chance of having him back for the postseason, they're probably going in that direction rather than starting from scratch with Mayfield.
Makes a lot of sense.
Not that Brock Purdy looked all that bad last week either. We'll see what he does in the coming weeks.
People are high on Brock Purdy. All of a sudden,
yeah.
Not that, you know. Let's give it like, you know, four more quarters at least before we decide on Brock.
Well, he played three and a half quarters. He's got 1/3 the passing touchdowns of Russell Wilson, who's played all season.
Stop. Stop. This isn't about Russ Wilson.
It could be.
It could be. It could be. I wouldn't have been something that Denver put a claim in on Baker Mayfield, but I don't want to change the subject. We can get into the Russ Wilson saga again. We had the discussion about his salary cap hit the other day, and that's been picked up by start seeing people explore that. They're right. You can't. They can't get out of that contract. They're stuck with him. But man, oh man, yeah. The Baker Mayfield to LA is an interesting call because they've got space there because Matt Stafford seems to be. And I don't want to say finished, certainly for this year. And they need a guy. They're not going to the playoffs. They've already lost 9 games. So, you know, they're not – they're number 15 in a 16-team conference at 3-7. They're not going anywhere.
They're 3-9.
They're 3-9. And so they're not going anywhere. No. So this Baker Mayfield thing is a sideshow even for them.
Yeah. It's like a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
That's Around the NFL, presented by Kalida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. We have to take a break here because when we return, we're going to be joined by the guy calling the game on NFL on CBS. Jim Nantz is going to join us next as we talk Bills Jets with him, his upcoming assignment this weekend. Coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and pleased to be joined now by the lead play-by-play voice for the NFL on CBS, 3-time Emmy Award winner, and he's calling Bills Jets on Sunday with Tony Romo. It's Jim Nantz, everybody. How we doing, Jim?
We're doing well. Thank you, Chris. Steve, good to be with you boys. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, and welcome coming back to Buffalo. We're seeing you a little bit more and more these days now that Josh Allen and these guys have emerged. You've done the games in Kansas City, those phenomenal games that have happened in Kansas City. You're getting to see him now. I think at least for the second time here in Buffalo, you got the Pittsburgh game early in the season, correct?
We did. We had the Pittsburgh game on October the 9th, and this marks our second one. And then if things hold up, I think we'll be there for 2 playoff games. As the one seed, if that holds, I would think we'd be there divisional with a W. Obviously, we'd be there for the AFC Championship. So I expect a pretty steady diet of trips to your great city for years to come.
Yeah. Jim, I think the one thing that's kind of taken us all a little bit by surprise is the performance of the AFC East top to bottom. I mean, a lot of people coming into the season were saying, it's all about the AFC West. There's going to be cannibalism out there. They're going to be beating up on each other all season. Everybody was sleeping on the AFC East, which is significantly tighter than I think anyone anticipated.
Well, it's a good point, Chris. First off, the Jets are a lot better than anyone thought. So that's helped the division. And when you look at the West, everybody kind of oversold the Broncos. They're a lot worse than anyone thought. So you just take those two teams and flip them, their seasons, and it certainly has changed the texture of those divisions. But the AFC East and the NFC East are just absolute dynamite. And look, the Bills are sitting on top of the world right now. I'm sorry to hear the news today about Von Miller. We were there for the Thanksgiving Day game, and I was greatly concerned as he was being carted off the field. And we were getting updates. He's not going to return today. I said something to the effect on the air, well, we don't care about today. We care about the long-range view of all of this. And, I'm sorry to see after this exploratory surgery that they found. In fact, the ACL was compromised and torn.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate, no question about it. It's kind of he has been – we have talked about his effect on the young players at the defensive end position here in Buffalo. AJ Epineza, Boogie Basham,
Greg Rousseau,
the entire roster of these guys that he's been playing with and around, and how he's elevated their play. It's now an opportunity to see, well, maybe these guys make the most of the teachings that he's done, maybe carry that on, maybe gain some inspiration over his absence. I know that's a big reach in today's NFL, but no question Von Miller has had an impact on this team on the field And it remains to be seen, I think, now in the coming weeks as to maybe that impact happens now that he's off the field.
Well, I really thought all along, Steve, that this was, by and large, this was a playoff scenario for the Bills, that this was really all about Vaughn performing in January and hopefully in February. And you're right. You're going to get the Russos, who I'm actually seeing, I think, Russo grow and evolve here in just the last few weeks. They're going to need some guys to step up. You know, I was just looking at the replay you just showed of the injury, and it looked like such an innocuous play. It was nothing that looks like an ACL to me, but funny how these things go. They're going to have to make up for it, though. And you're going to need home field. I know there's a lot of work to go through here. The Jets, they already know how good the Jets can be with that first matchup. And, you know, later in the year, or later here in a week or so, you got Cincinnati on the road. So, hey, to me, if I was trying to map out what the Bills need to do right now, that's no great surprise to anyone. But I've seen these Buffalo at Kansas City matchups. And, yes, the Bills won this year, and they were there twice last year. But to get into the playoffs and have that game at Orchard Park, that's a big deal to me. If the Bills can get the one seed, I believe they go all the way. I really do.
Yeah, and interesting because the three losses the Bills have this year, one to Miami Dolphins in the Heat, and a week after they lost six or seven guys to injury. And then, of course, the debacle that happened against Minnesota where they had three game-stopping plays all went catastrophically the other way. Those two losses, you can kind of say, well, wow, that was bad luck, the luck of the draw. But the Jet loss is one that even people in the building will say, the Jets outplayed them. The Jets really deserved to win that game. Zach Wilson didn't make any huge mistakes. Their defense showed up in a big way, stifled Josh Allen, the offense. This Jet team is the one team we've seen this year hang in there with Buffalo one-on-one and without any huge lucky breaks, beat them.
They got a lot of talent on the team, Steve. I mean, I'm sitting here just all day putting my of course, you can't see it here on this screen, but yeah. Putting my boards together and working on my color-coded spotting board, and I start looking at the talent they brought in this year. Obviously, they hit on the draft, but the free agent, I'm talking about this year's draft with the three first rounders, led by Sauce Gardner. But they got so many guys that they brought in by free agency in the offseason, and they hit on these guys. So they're a good team. You know, Mike White, Buffalo fans remember Mike White from last year. Bills certainly had their way with him last year, but they're feisty. They're much better than people think. Let's just put it that way. You've seen it. It was not a joke. I think early in the season, maybe there were some people who were thinking they could be taken lightly. I don't think anybody's doing that anymore.
Let's talk about Mike White since you brought him up, Jim. I mean, you know, he makes a start last year, performs admirably, and then it kind of crashes and burns against the Bills shortly thereafter with a four interception performance against Buffalo. This year, he's got back-to-back 300-yard passing days here, albeit one in a loss last week where they really just couldn't score in the red zone more than anything else, going 1-for-6 down there. Is this sustainable, do you think, maybe more so this year than it was for them last year because of that aforementioned talent that you listed that's around him?
Well, Garrett Wilson, you're watching right now, he certainly loves Mike White at quarterback. He's got almost 300 yards receiving the last 2 weeks. Including, well, look what he did here against the Bills in week 9. But Garrett Wilson's come alive here with Mike White at quarterback. He throws a beautiful football. I know that. It was a disaster for him last year against the Bills, talking about Mike White. I think he threw 4 picks. But there's going to be a lot of people going to look back at this and say, man, what the Jets' record could have been if Mike White was their quarterback all along. I mean, he's over 300 yards each of the last 2 starts since he was put back in the lineup. And like that pass right there against Minnesota, that's some good-looking stuff. They had the game won last week. They dropped the pass in the end zone. Of course, you would have had to stop Cousins and the Vikings coming down and scoring as well. But this team's not afraid. That's one thing I see. Robert Saleh, this team's not afraid.
Yeah, and when you talk about, you know, the way this team has played and the mileage they've gotten out of the earliest part of the draft, they They are no fluke. 7-4 is what they deserve. They've really played well in those games. And the fact that they did it without Breece Hall, the number one running back, who was just starting to explode, even the Jets have managed to kind of weather the long nature of the grind of the regular season. And Robert Saleh deserves a lot of credit for that.
He's going to get a lot of attention for Coach of the Year. And what's a shame is a guy like Sean McDermott, who I think is as good as anybody in the league, they have a season like this and people say, yeah, but they were supposed to be that good. So they don't quite get maybe as much acclaim as they should. I have nothing but great regard for Sean. But when it comes to the end of the year voting, plus a little bit of the New York media influence or whatever that plays, you can bet Robert Saleh, he's on a heck of a job. He's going to be right up there in the Coach of the Year story.
Yeah.
There'll be other guys too. I mean, you got to give Sirianni at Philadelphia, obviously his too. They're 10-1 right now,
right,
or 11-1. So, yeah, but right now this game, I'm excited to be coming back to Buffalo. The weather's going to be pretty decent. And I'm looking forward to it. I've enjoyed this ride with the Bills. This is exactly what I expected before the season started. This was the team I thought was going to be the team to beat. And, right now I'm still holding by that.
Well, you mentioned it in the Coach of the Year voting, the New York media presence. There's another thing about the New York, about the media presence that you have something to do with. It's called an announcer's jinx. So we're watching the Thanksgiving game, and you're making this call about, what was it, about 103 straight. And the moment you mention it, the streak ends.
Well, actually, I got kind of the double whammy that week. The one that was most egregious was the kicker for the Lions. I don't think I'm going to be welcome back in Detroit anytime soon. All of this, of course, is tongue-in-cheek. But Michael Badgley, their kicker, had a 29-yarder. Now, I happened to watch him warm up, and he had a dreadful warm-up session on the field. So I had this feeling there was a chance he could miss from 29 yards. And, of course, I had all the data committed to memory. He had not missed a field goal or a PAT this year. So as he was setting up for the kick, just to have some fun with it, I think my preamble was, I don't want to hear anything about some so-called announcer's jinx. Here's Michael Badgley. He hasn't missed a kick all year long. Secretly, I'm hoping he's going to miss the kick because I've had this great buildup. I want to play right into the hands of the old silly announcer's jinx theory. And, of course, the guy rope-hooked it left and missed. But you're getting me on Tyler Bass's extra point streak coming to an end. I had mentioned that on his first PAT attempt of the game. And then, lo and behold, two attempts after that, yes, he missed. That one, I can't have that one marked against me. But the Badgley one that cost the Lions 3 points in a game that was decided by three. You'd be surprised how many people will actually take these silly announcer jinxes seriously.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah. How does Tony rib you much for that stuff? I mean,
are you kidding? He's all over me. He's the guy that's kind of like giving this thing another life. So it's all good fun.
We would be remiss if we didn't mention this too, Jim. Being a college basketball junkie that I am, we've enjoyed you for years, doing the road to the Final Four. And, you recently made the announcement. This is going to be your last ride coming up in March. I know your schedule is absolutely bananas. So the fact that you've done it as long as you have is pretty remarkable in and of itself, doing football and golf also. Just why you kind of decided now was the time this coming March.
Well, I have three children. Two are at home, two young kids. And it's primarily about getting some of my life back. And I've done it for a long, long time. It was nothing more than that. I've had the golden hamster wheel, if you will, for 37 years. And by that, I mean, one season ends, the next one begins. I finish football. I head to the West Coast for some golf at some glorious sites. I do a little bit of West Coast golf for a month, and the NCAA tournament begins. And I go through 15 game calls in 23 days. It's exhausting. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. I love it. But it is a lot. I mean, it's a lot on my plate. And then I go right from there to the Masters and do golf basically most every weekend until week one of the NFL season. So you never quite are home. So I was just looking for a way to trim it back. People think I'm retiring. I'm going to be back to like 41 weeks on the road.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so I'm going to have the NFL. And by the way, I want to add this, you know, Ian Eagle's going to be doing it starting in 24, and he is just sensational. And I really felt too, it was time for Ian to have his own property. I'm thrilled for him. He'll take it and run with it and take it to greater heights. And he deserves it. So I'm thrilled. And it's going to end in Houston. That had a lot to do with this year because nice. Houston was my gateway city. Right. I went to the University of Houston. My alma mater got me into the business. They were the ones that entrusted me to be the public address announcer. That's why I give Ed Oliver a lot of extra love, by the way. he's a Houston Cougar. And, you know, we're ranked number one in the nation right now. I mean, the dream here would be for Houston to win the championship on Monday night, and that'd be my last basketball call.
Right, yeah. Well, Jim, thanks so much. When you get to town, tell Jim Rickoff I said hello. He's a good friend of ours, your producer, I know, the executive producer of NFL on CBS.
He loves you, man.
Yeah, well, the feeling's
I got
mutual.
One thing I need to say
the guys at CBS had always treated me just so. My time there was absolutely phenomenal. I got nothing but love and respect for the whole crew, and it was such a gift to be a part of it for as long as I was.
Well, you remain always a part of the family, Steve, and you are beloved, and we all look forward to getting back to Buffalo to go see a lot of friends there, including Hutch.
Yeah,
Mark Hutchinson and Hutches. And Charlie the Butcher and Bonnie, his wife. I mean, you got friends there like you wouldn't believe. But I want to say this. I know you're up against the break. When I did the Pittsburgh game, I was emotionally on zero. My mom had passed away that week leading into the game. And I decided to do the game anyway because I felt she would have wanted me to. And we had a service on the Thursday leading into the Pittsburgh at Buffalo game in Houston. But there was going to be another service on Monday, graveside service in Charlotte, where my mom is buried now next to my father. So I did that game, and it was hard to do. But I had such an outpouring from people in Buffalo, including Brandon Bean and Coach McDermott, Josh Allen. I mean, I had people reaching out to me like you can't believe. And in lieu of flowers, we asked people to make a donation if they so desired. To the Nance National Alzheimer's Center down at Houston Methodist Hospital, which is named for my father. I created it after my father lost his battle, and it's one of the top research institutes in the world in battling Alzheimer's. Do you know, I get these reports back, and there were dozens of people that sent in donations that said, Bill's Mafia, Bill's Mafia, Bill's Mafia. You know, that story didn't get any attention, nor am I asking it to, but we know about the Andy Daltons. We know about when Josh lost his grandmother. We know the way the people in this community have such a heart and they step up for people. And I just want you to know, I'm really touched. I'm really touched by what the fan base did for me and the organization, for strangers I've never met before, to find a way to find out where to be able to, they had to look that up. It was an amazing effort. I will never forget that the rest of my life. And I know there are going to be some of those folks who are going to be watching this thing right now. And I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, it really meant a lot to me and my family.
Well, I'm glad we had
the
opportunity.
Do it right. Yeah. This organization, this fan base, you deserve nothing but the best. And I wish you guys all your dreams to come true.
Well, I'm
really appreciative.
We're glad we were able to give you the time to thank Bill's Mafia there publicly. I'm sure they appreciate it, although they expect nothing in return, as you've probably come to know personally now.
Amazing.
After this. So and extended condolences to you as well, Jim. We probably should have done that right off the top.
That's fine, Chris. Thank you. I really appreciate you and Steve both. Thanks for having me on. I'll see you in the playoffs.
All right. Absolutely. Have a great call on Sunday.
Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys.
Safe. All the best. Look forward to being there.
All right. That's Jim Nance, NFL on CBS, lead play-by-play man. Going to call the game, Bills-Jets on Sunday with Tony Romo on CBS. We'll take a break here. Be back with more, including some of your phone calls here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. He's at the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown, Snapdragon apples. This Bills season, head to your local Wegmans to experience the epic flavor and monster crunch of Snapdragon apples, the official apples of your Buffalo Bills.
We got to get to the phones because we're asking you today, what role player will make the biggest impact against the Jets on Sunday and why? Waiting patiently there to lead us off today is Marie in Amherst. What do you got for us, Marie? Hold on. Let me pull you up here. Oh, there we go. How are we doing, Marie?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First off, the role play. Oh, first off, I want to give a healthy and speedy recovery to Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And second, the role player I think going to make the biggest impact on Sunday has got to be Nyheim Hines. We got to get that special teams moving. I mean, last week it didn't look so good, but we really got to get that moving. And Steve, I just want you to know that you are the greatest gunner of all times on special teams. And I'm sure you could appreciate Ed Reed right behind you with those hits and stuff. So we got to get those guys to step it up a bit. But we need to – I know everybody, Von is out. We got a lot of injuries and guys are getting healthy and we're letting guys go. But maybe we really do need to look into bringing in some cheap guys to help out on that side because sometimes the offense could get a little stagnant and we need to get it going. And I know you guys told me a while ago that Elijah Griffin was with Giants. They cut him. Can you imagine Jaquan Johnson, Elijah Griffin, gunners on the side, Cyber Neal coming up the middle, blowing it up? I mean, we got to get another part of our game going for our team. But I think Nyheim Hines is the man, and I think we need some cheap players that know the system, get them back in the building, and get this thing going. That's all. Right.
Thanks, Marie.
Good stuff, Marie. Good call. Yeah, and I'll say this. I appreciate your kind words about me being a gunner. The Bills special teams, it's been a little bit of – it was a roller coaster early in the season. I think they've come into their own of late. I think their coverage teams have really come on and started to step up a lot better. No question about it. Saran Neal has always been an elite special teams player. Medikevich has been a guy who's been real savvy. I think they've missed Jake Kumerow in the lineup a little bit as well. Tywan Jones, I think, has continued to help even at this advanced stage of his career. So I think they've got the core guys that – and I think a lot of times in special teams, particularly at this in this day and age of player safety and what they're allowed and not allowed to do, I think – you need guys with experience more so than maybe in decades past. And the Bills have a ton of guys like that. So I really like their special teams crew. Certainly Tyler Bass is, in my mind, an elite kicker in the league. So, you know, Sam Martin.
Martin's done well.
Sam Martin's played well. I don't know. We don't see him that much. But yeah, so I'm with you. The special team side of the ball here in Buffalo got off to a little, not, I'm not saying a bad start, but a little bit of a roller coaster. One, they did some things really well, and then a couple of times they'd have a mind blow. But now they're more consistently getting it week in, week out, play by play, and, you know, punt return, kickoff return, all of them in conjunction. Hines has helped. I think you're right, Marie. So all that stuff being said, yeah, I would be I think special teams at this point in the NFL is one of those times where once in a while you'll see a guy do something superlative. But I think you always have to be ready to – and this is the way it's always been with special teams. You got to have guys out there who are alert and athletic enough to take advantage when the other team makes a huge mistake. When somebody falls down or they miss a block or whatever, you got to have somebody to take advantage of it and turn it into a huge play. And that's as important a part of special teams as just doing everything right and covering where you want to cover. So I think the Bills are sitting very well in that spot. The guys I mentioned, right on you know, except for Kumerow being out for so long, those guys I mentioned are really good at it. And the guys that they've added to it, particularly a guy like Nyheim Hines, have been a plus. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think special teams could be the thing that turns it this week.
And not for nothing, the New York Jets, 24th in the league in punt coverage. Just something to throw out there for you. Let's go back to the phones, and we go to Kevin in Hamburg next. What do you got for us, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Now that I heard about that horrible news about Von Miller, our closer, the guy we signed to hopefully not have another 13-second incident like we did against the Chiefs, I think we should forget about OBJ totally, and I know they're hard to find linebackers that's even close to that, But I'd sure love to see him go for a linebacker that's like an OBJ of linebackers. And forget about OBJ, because he's going to probably sign with the Cowboys. He sees the star in their helmet and Jerry World and all that. Anyway, I'd sure love to find a linebacker. And there are not many linebackers like Von Miller. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's that. But, boy, if they could find another linebacker that's even close to it, to be that closer, to not have another 13-second dilemma.
Yeah, and you're right, Kevin. I agree with you, but
you're not finding that
you
guy.
Ain't find,
now.
That guy doesn't exist, and he's not. If
not
he does,
on the street.
If he does exist, he's playing for somebody, and you got to trade something to get him.
Now,
there's a list of guys you could pull up, you know, guys. Yeah, but
the trade deadline's passed too, so
yeah,
that's not even.
So,
an option.
Yeah, you're not going to get it done this year. Unless you can conjure one up out of thin air, which I don't think you can, it's not going to happen. I get your strategy.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Sometimes the best laid plans don't always pan out the way you wanted them to. You know, and in a game as barbaric as football, where you can have car crash type injuries that are completely unavoidable, or even innocuous injuries like Von Miller's. There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees. So it's unfortunate. That's the hand the Bills are dealt. Now they got to move on without Von. And, you know, I said it before, I'll say it again. I have not come across a head coach that is better at managing a team through crisis better than Sean McDermott. And what's the level of this crisis? I think they knew they weren't going to have him for the next three games anyway. So to a certain extent, they were going to get used to operating without him. Now they know they don't have him for the rest of the year. So it's everybody pull on the rope a little bit harder, and hopefully it's enough on the defensive side of the ball to be the kind of defense they wanted to be from the outset. So that's the hope. That's the plan. That's the goal. And the guys that are left and that are healthy and are going out there every Sunday are the ones that got to make it happen. We got to take a break. We're up against the clock. When we come back, more of your phone calls as we're asking you, what role player is going to make the biggest impact in this game against the Jets on Sunday and why? We've got plenty more, including post-game practice sound from Josh Allen and others. Coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Here we are, hour number two on a Wednesday. Players exiting the practice field. We'll have updates from the podium in just a little while. But in the meantime, we are asking you what role player will make the biggest impact against the Jets on Sunday and why. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. We're going to start with the tweet sheet, which, as always, is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. And we lead off here with Greg, who goes with the same person that Marie and Amherst did earlier in the last segment, Nyheim Hines. He busts out a punt return for a touchdown, baby! I think we could use one of those.
It's been a while.
Buffalo has only one return for a touchdown this year, and that was Matt Milano in week two against the Titans.
That was a pick six. That wasn't a kick.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
There you are.
That'd be nice.
It would be good. I mean, any bonus points from another phase of the
one
team
of the
is gravy.
One of the reasons the Jets are ranked so poorly in their return game is because of the game in New England where they lost it on a punt return.
Yeah, they gave up the 84-yarder with 26 seconds left.
What are you doing?
Yeah, not good.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying
Why'd you even kick it to the guy?
Yeah, kick it out of bounds with 26 seconds left. That was a coaching snafu there. But yeah, Hines has been good. You know, on punt returns, kick returns, he's done well.
Yeah, I like him, and they're starting to sprinkle him in on offense as well. He only got 3 carries last week, and they gave it to him on those jet sweep kind of inside handoffs, and they didn't do very well. He got negative. I think he got minus 3 yards.
One in the red zone
on his 2 carries, and it wasn't good. But I like that they're giving him a shot, giving him a chance anyway. You know, giving him something to do, a package of plays that he can execute in addition to his punt return duties. So. We'll see if his role expands.
Yeah, we saw a pony package from them last week, too, even a little bit more, with 2 backs on either side of Josh and the shotgun there. I think Cook proved himself worthy of more playing time, and we'll see if the same goes for Hines going forward as well and see if it kind of turns into somewhat of a committee backfield. It's been mostly Singletary for the season here, but James Cook is getting closer and closer to getting a bigger chunk of that playing time share. I skipped SS General. SS General on the tweet sheet says, I would love to see James Cook expand his role from Thursday. He's heating up at the right time. I like what they got out of Cook. Might have been his best performance this season against the Patriots on Thursday last week. And you know what Coach says, you have to earn it. Well, I think his production last week against the Patriots did earn him more playing time.
Yes, it does. I think the thing none of us ever know is, does he get more opportunities because he's doing more with those opportunities, or is he getting more opportunities because of what he's doing Monday through Saturday on the practice field and in the meetings and in the weight room and in the, what leads to more opportunities? Is it just the specific matchup that it was the Patriots this last week that they were susceptible to the pony package, or is James Cook showing them something on the practice field and during the week that is giving him more opportunity? And we don't know what the answer to that is, but no question, he showed up against the Patriots. No doubt about it.
Well, and it was a sharp spike in playing time for Cook and Hines, as we mentioned. Just to paint the picture completely here, basically since Hines got to the Bills, he played 4 snaps against the Jets in Week 9, then 6 snaps, 10 snaps, 4 snaps. This is all on offense. 23 snaps last week against New England. Then here are the snaps for Cook week by week. 3, 18, 11, 2, 10, 10, 15, 14, 13, 16, 14, 32. He got double the workload against the Patriots. And you could argue Hines got 4 times the workload in terms of time on the field on offense. So we'll see if they felt they discovered something additional by having those guys on the field as long as they did. I just think Cook is such a great change of pace to Singletary, because Singletary's kind of the bobber and weaver, and then Cook is, pew, like, right through. And it's, well, whoa, where did that guy come from?
The perceived skill set that Cook brings to the table is also being able to split out and run routes. You don't ask.
Right.
I mean, you'll put Singletary out wide, but you're not throwing him the ball. You know, so it's whatever the perceived skill set is and the difference between them, is we saw a lot of it this last week. We'll see if it continues and see if it's a trend or whether it's a one-time matchup thing because of the Patriots.
Time for us to go to the post-practice podium where Josh Allen is answering questions from the media.
Have you had a chance to talk to Von yet, and what is his last meeting?
Yeah, I talked to him last night after surgery. Obviously sucks losing him, guy of his caliber, you know, what he came here to do and help this team out. You know, I don't know when he's coming back, but, you know, he's coming back. And just to have his presence in the locker room and you know, teaching guys still, I think that's going to be a big help for us. Obviously, we wish he's out there, you know, with us, and we're praying for him. We're keeping him in our hearts. But the only way is forward, and, you know, guys got to step up, and collectively we got to come together and, you know, try to, like I said, come together and diminish his absence as much as possible.
He's already released a video from his hospital bed saying, don't blink and don't worry about me. I'll be back. What does that say about him?
Again, he's doing everything he can you know, help this team win football games. And obviously that's going to be a different role for him now. Yeah, but, you know, make no mistake about it. We're going to miss him. He's definitely a difference maker on the field. But, you know, we got some young guys that'll step up and try to fill his roles as best as possible. Yeah, that's, again, we're all keeping him in our hearts and our thoughts right now. And, you know, hopefully we can get him back soon and love up on him and you know, show him how much he means to us. And just to have his presence around, it's going to be good for our locker room.
Every time it seems you guys turn a corner away from trouble, like whether it's this that crazy three-game stretch, somebody else getting, you know, somebody's hurt, you, your elbow, whatever, another thing happens, comes up like this. And I don't recall another season that's happened like this. And all these things have happened. How do you think this affects morale? And you guys are accustomed to adversity, but how much does it get you even more accustomed to having to overcoming something more?
Yeah, it's the NFL. It's hard to win in this league. There's going to be adversity every step of the way. And you know, luckily, we've got the guys that we do in this locker room. You know, I thought our front office did a good job of bringing in the guys that we've brought in. You know, for situations like this, you know, to use leadership and to go out there and, like Vaughn says, don't blink and next man up and, you know, everything that Coach McDermott practices. And, you know, our main focus right now is, you know, to try to go 1-0 this next week against the Jets, who, you know, we've already lost to. And that's our mindset. Yeah, that's going to be our mindset going forward, just 1-0 every week. And, you know, it's the most important game because it's the next one. You know, I think he's very hip. He's a younger guy. Obviously, just being in the room with us, and he gets the lingo, he gets the jokes that we talk about. But he's very, very intelligent. And you know, when it comes to X's and O's, he's far and away, you know, the most advanced at his age. I think if you check anywhere around the league, even going into college for that matter, he understands it. He gets it. The way he talks to the quarterbacks, you know, it's very friendly. It makes you want to play for him. You know, he does such a good job, and you know, keeping the morale up. You know, always being the same guy, the same energy every time we step into that quarterback room every meeting. You know, he's always the same, and you know, we really appreciate about him.
Sorry, interrupt there. You were kind of coy on Thursday when you were asked about what your role might be with Odell potentially visiting. We know that he did over the weekend. Can you shed any light on how that visit went and what your interactions with him were?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure where he's at in his decision-making process. You know, I think we're all still kind of waiting and just playing it by ear. But yeah, I got the chance to hang out with him and, you know, just kind of show him how we as Buffalo Bills kind of vibe together and hang out and, you know, rely on each other here. And, you know, hopefully he saw that and, you know, he appreciated that. All the X's and O's and him on the field, all that other stuff, like that's up to coaching staffs and, you know, where he wants to play and all that. But, you know, I enjoyed hanging out with him and, you know, hopefully we hear some good news here.
Speculative, but have you thought about what he could potentially mean to this offense and how he might fit with what you guys do?
Yeah. You know, it's always good to add another weapon. That being said, though, I trust our guys and what we got going on here. You know, I think we got guys that can play multiple positions, and we trust them implicitly. So, but again, it's never bad to have another weapon.
Josh, within the team now, after what happened last week, that you control your own destiny.
Yeah, we've felt that way. You know, obviously when we were written off a few weeks ago, and again, our focus is good. Go 1-0 each week. That's all we can do. We can control what we can control. And everything that we want to do is still out in front of us, and that's been our mindset, you know. Next man up, and you know, all the cliche sayings that you can say, but it really is. We're focused on the next game, and that's it.
How does the pass help you? You're one out after a bad loss in Arizona 2 years ago. You won out last year after that Tampa loss. Is that kind of drawing that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can say it's like situations, and having the carryover that we've had from year to year with the guys that we have in our locker room, the leaders that we have in our locker room. We feel like we've been in situations like that before. And again, there's still a lot of work to do, a lot of things that we need to work on. And we still got to win some more football games. You know, these ones in December matter, the ones in January matter, and you know, the one in February matter. So, You know, we got to continue to put our best foot forward, be the best versions of ourselves, and, you know, just try to go 1-0 each week.
You guys like getting ripped out, don't you?
Oh, I think anybody that, you know, gets their backs against the wall and is confident in themselves will say that it's a position we're okay being in. Obviously, we want to get out of that position. We want to win. That's all we want to do here in Buffalo is win football games. And the outside perception for us really doesn't mean that much, to be honest. And we're very internally driven. And we got guys that, again, care about each other, do things the right way, and want to win football games.
You mentioned a few times the importance of skipping third downs, and you guys aren't number one on third downs, but you did a good job of staying ahead of the sticks against New England. And just what do you think of, in general, the benefits of skipping third downs?
Well, I think, again, you're putting yourself in better situations. You know, with those third and mediums, third and longs, that's when defenses can get real exotic and, you know, takes one mistake, you know, for you to make, and, you know, they've got the ball in plus territory now. So, you know, skipping third downs, keeping the opposing defense in simpler packages. And, again, it lets you be two-dimensional. You can throw it. You can run it. You know, and, again, that's what Coach McDermott preaches all the time. If we can be two-dimensional and force the opposing team to be one-dimensional, you're usually going to have success that way. That's just complementary football that, you know we're trying to play here.
Learn from the last game with the Jets and the challenge that they present this week, second time in about a month?
Yeah, they're on a high effort group. They're playing really good defensive ball right now. They got some playmakers over there, and obviously the last game I didn't feel like I played very well. I made some boneheaded decisions, but learning from those and just trying to, like I said, just trying to make good decisions and end every drive in a kick, whether it be a punt, field goal, or PAT.
Earlier about the sheer amount of adversity that this team has faced. Obviously, this Vaughn news is pretty new, but as a leader in that locker room, when you sort of take the temperature of the room, what is the reaction that you're feeling from your teammates?
Again, I mean, we're extremely, we're extremely sad for him. You know, we're a better team when he's playing. That's no doubt about that. But the mindset that we have is, again, next man up, and we trust the guys that, you know, being in the front office is brought in here, you know, for reasons like this, and to have some depth, and, you know, if guys go down, we have guys that can step up and still be productive football players for us. But again, it's going to be a collective effort, guys rallying around each other, and you know, just trying to play, you know, determined football.
Hey, Josh, with the situation, and, you know, having the next couple of days of decision, however long it is, do you blow up his phone? Do you text him? Do you call him? Like, how do you handle that?
Now, I'm sure Vaughn's doing that enough for me. I'm focused on just trying to go 1-0 this week, and you know, whatever decision comes, again, I guess we'll find out.
Josh, quite a bit of gut punches this season.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest answer is, you know, we're sitting at 9-3, and everything that we want still out in front of us, and. Again, we believe in the core group of guys that we got here and the guys that are, you know, on this team. And we believe in the coaching staff and feel like, you know, every time we step on the field, one, we can win that game, and two, coaches are going to put us in good situations so that we can go out there and play to the best of our abilities and, again, lean and rely on each other and just play complimentary football.
Kevin, if I may, can I – I had a stupid editor messaging me and I couldn't get something.
I got you.
So do you think – since the Jets game, you know, since maybe late October, given how this team has developed the running game and become a little bit more balanced and have been able to better counter what some defenses are doing to you, do you think this team has, the offense has evolved to a degree where it's ahead or maybe it's further along than it was maybe in late October?
Yeah, I definitely say that. Again, we've been in different situations. We've seen different defenses in terms of how they want to play us. And again, establishing that run game is very beneficial, whether it's play action pass or just the thought of running, keeping defenses in check that way. But every game that you play in is going to be a different situation, and you have to adapt. And I think we're better equipped now to adapt. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, that's Josh Allen addressing the media after practice today. We have to take a break here because when we come back, We will be bringing you General Manager Brandon Bean, who is also going to address the media in the wake of the Von Miller news, as it was announced earlier today by head coach Sean McDermott that he is out for the season after exploratory surgery discovered an ACL injury that required surgical repair. So we take a break here, but General Manager Brandon Bean coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. It's One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. We have to turn now, though, to the post-practice podium where General Manager Brandon Bean is addressing the media in the wake of the Von Miller ACL surgical repair news broken by head coach Sean McDermott earlier today.
Defensively, you guys have used 11 unique combinations to start on defense this year.
Yet you're 9-3. What does that say about the depth that you guys have built? Even though you lose Von, the guys you have that can step up still.
Yeah, it's been a year. You know, you always, no matter what predictions are, adversity always strikes. You don't know when. And it started early with losing Micah and Dane in that first game. We got him back. But, you know, I think Sean and the coaches have done a great job of having the next man ready to roll. And our guys, they just, that whole thing that Vaughn brought about don't blink, guys have done a great job. Yeah, we've had some bumps and not everything's been pretty, but it's part of the deal, and we're confident that with Vaughn out, you know, these young guys will step up.
What can you tell us about the nature of that injury as you're aware of it? You know, exploratory surgery, what was revealed and what his recovery is going
to
be?
Yeah, I mean, he went he flew to Dallas on Monday and saw Dr. Cooper down there, and you know, I was aware that, you know, it was a possibility, you know, all crossing our fingers, but that, you know, you see more when you go in there, and you know, you're hoping it's just a clean out of a scope and get him back. And that's my comments last week, where we were hopeful. That's why we went ahead and put him on IR to start the clock in hopes that he could be back. But yeah, once Dr. Cooper got in there, he felt, you know, it wasn't going to hold, and he needed a repair.
Is this one of those situations where really, like, the swelling had to go down to kind of really get a full scope of everything, like we hear about with these injuries?
Yeah, I mean, you just try and, you know, rehab the guys, make their quads stronger, everything else, because it'll help them come out of whatever it is. And, you know, it's still good, swelling down. But, yeah, you have images, but you also have open, you know, when you really see in there, you see clearly. And Dr. Cooper's a, you know, well-respected doc, and we were all on board that, he was a good guy to go in and do this. And unfortunately, that it is what it is. But, you know, I'm a half-glass full guy, you know, from that standpoint. We think if everything goes well, rehab, you know, we'll have him for most of 2023.
Brandon, how confident are you in the younger guys that you previously mentioned that they are ready to take an expanded role? AJ, Greg, Boogie, Shaq?
Yeah, I mean, very confident. We believe in these guys, and I think when their number's been called, I think they've all shown improvement this year. I think you've seen it out of each one. The other day, I thought Boogie had his best game, you know, with Vaughn out. Love his physicality he played with. AJ, came off an ankle, you know, and he's still, you know, he's doing well. All these guys will have to step up. Greg's had a really good year. Same thing, coming off an ankle. And then Shaq, we forget about Shaq, but he's done a great job, great energy. And we believe in these guys. Vaughn has helped these guys already with just some of the things he's taught them, whether it's moves, whether it's preparation, film, all those things. So he's going to be back here. And that's the thing, I talked to Vaughn last night. Once he can fly and get back here, he's going to be around to help, and I'm excited to get him back.
Yeah, kind of the big talk about today is the investment you made in Von Miller and obviously losing him, but you look at the drafts, what you've done in terms of that defensive front through the years here to prepare for seasons like this one, there's also that investment that needs to really pay off, right?
Yeah, no doubt, Adam. It's time for those guys, and I think they're all ready for their moment. They're excited. Yes, they hate to lose Vaughn like we do, but they're trained competitors, and they're like, hey, when my number's called, I'm going to be ready. And I thought game one, those guys all stepped up. Now it's about backing it up, you know, week after week.
Brandon, you talk about the scenario, Brandon, about this is a reason why you've said you don't like to dive in deep in free agency, that you spend big money on a guy and then he gets hurt and, you know, it's for nothing. Is there, obviously there is some frustration now, but do you look back on that decision any differently now?
No. No. I mean, you can't. I mean, ACLs happen all the time. It's, you know, he's on the turf. You get rolled on wrong, and it went. That can happen with a 23-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 40, any of us. Vaughn has been great for us, not only as a player, but the championship mentality, all the things he's brought to our team. And he's going to continue. He's going to come back. This guy's not hanging it up. He's determined. He was excited when I talked to him last night. Hated that it happened, but he already had his focus on his rehab and coming back here helping this team finish the season strong, and then he'll be here this offseason. So, I'm surely glad we got Vaughn Miller.
All right, that's Brandon Bean, general manager of the Bills, addressing the Vaughn Miller situation. I think the most encouraging thing that he said there, Steve, was we believe with successful surgery and rehab that we'll have him for most of 2023. That's pretty telling. Obviously, they know more about the extent of the damage to the ACL than we do. So that prognosis, that's pretty encouraging, considering he had surgery, what, December 6th of 2022? You're going to have him for most of 2023.
And also the rest of his comments about, you know, still being happy that they signed that guy. He gave him 8 sacks on the season, which, by the way, is way more than anybody else gave him a year ago. And we've seen it. You and I have been watching and hearing the things he's said to his teammates through the media, through interaction on the practice field. The guy's made a difference for the team in a number of ways that are kind of intangible. You know what I mean? His attitude, his leadership, the things that he says in the face of adversity, after losses, you know, as few as there have been. Vaughn has been a guy who has, you know, been a real steady voice and a positive influence on the guys in the locker room, and I don't think that's going to leave. And I think it speaks to the kind of person he is and obviously the kind of player he has been in the league that he's been able to contribute not only to the production on the field for the Bills, but, man, to the psyche and the attitude of the team and the players around him, particularly in the defensive line group.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about this, too. While there was the hope that Miller would come back after being on IR and help the team out at the end of the season, you're wondering, you know, either as a teammate or as a player playing the same position, well, if he comes back, you know, whatever, whatever. Now you know he's not coming back. Now everybody plays that defensive end position is going to say, it's on me now, for sure. Like, there is no doubt that Vaughn is no longer part of the equation. I got to do more.
Yeah, there's no plan B.
Yeah.
Now, you're it. And people are going to look at this team and this defensive line group, and at the end of it all, if they're not the ones who get the stop in a big game at the end of the season, if they're not the ones who force Pat Mahomes into throwing an interception to ice the game like they did in week 5, people are going to look at those guys.
Yeah.
And there's no safety net now. There's no cavalry coming. There's no parachute having 40 come in off the bench to rotate in on a third and long, on a third and short, or a third and medium in late in the game when it's in doubt. You're it. So it's true, and I think that's the message these guys are going to get loud and clear. They've got an opportunity to go to places where Vaughn Miller's already been and see if they can make their way.
Jordan Poyer is addressing the media after practice today, so let's hear some of his answers from the questions being posed to him in the field house.
How amazing it was to surprise you.
I was here at the building yesterday, and I got a letter from my team about a young kid who was, you know, going through some things at school, and I read his letter, and his letter was just extremely detailed, it was extremely thoughtful, you know, you could tell he put some work into it and thought of the words he was trying to use, and, you know, for a sixth grader, it just touched my heart as I read it, and like I said, I was reading up on his story a little bit. I was just finishing the day here at work, so I hit my team up and I was like, hey, you know, where's this kid go to school? East Aurora Middle School, it was 20 minutes away. So I was like, hey, would they mind if I just came in and said what's up to the kid, try to just brighten his spirits up, try to be a positive light. Because like I said, you know, I've said it before, the platform that I've been able to, to grow, and you know, it's really given me an opportunity to do that kind of stuff, to try to be a positive light in young kids' lives. And so I pulled up to the kid or to the school, went and got him out of swim class. I think a lot of you guys saw the video. He was just super excited to see me, and we hung out for 30 minutes, just talked about life, man, just talked about some of the stuff he was going through, and you know, just trying to be positive. Like I said, you know, Logan, he's a good kid. You can tell he's got just a great spirit about him. So you know, we're trying to get him out here to a Bills game, and you know, it was awesome to be a part of. I didn't expect it to blow up the way it did at all, and I didn't even know really media was going to be over there. I was just kind of thinking I was going over there to just say what's up to the kid and hang out with him, but you know, it kind of turned into something bigger than I had thought it was going to be. But again, it was just super special to even, you know, be able to have that opportunity to go and see that kid's face. So it was cool.
With Tre'Davious and Micah and Vaughn, do you ever yourself look around and go, that's enough of the injury?
Right. I mean, obviously the Vaughn news, that's tough, man. It sucks. You know, you love the guy as a friend, as a teammate, just somebody who I've grown to just appreciate, like I said, on and off the field. He's taught me so much in the game of football just in his short time being here. And to lose a guy like that is tough. That's the game we play. I think he'd be one of the first ones to tell you that. It's part of the game. And, you know, being able to, you know, have other guys – you know, have opportunities, you know, right in front of them. And those guys will be ready to go. And, you know, it's cliche, you always say it, next man up. But, you know, that's what it has to be. You can't replace a guy like Von Miller, future Hall of Famer, and just a great, great teammate. And so, you know, we got the news this morning, and it kind of shocked everybody, you know, because I think we had all heard the same news you guys were hearing. You know, he's on IR a couple weeks, he'll be back. And so then, you know, coach told us this morning, and you know, it's tough, you know, but at the same time, like I said, next man up. We got the right guys in the locker room, in that room, to be able to handle that and step up and make the most of that opportunity. Yeah, exactly that. Obviously, you know, it kind of shocked, I think, pretty much everyone, because I don't think anybody had heard about it when he told us. And, you know, I know I was shocked, but at the same time, you know, it was just, like you said, another opportunity for other guys to be able to step up and you know, show who they are. And, you know, they've been doing that the couple games that he's been out. Guys like Greg, guys like Boogie, AJ, you know, I know I'm missing a couple guys, you know, down the line, Greg. And, you know, those guys are ready for their opportunity, and, you know, I'm excited for them.
You guys have your own destiny in your hands. How does that feel, especially knowing how you close the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously being in control is a great feeling to be in, but at the same time, you know, we got some tough division games coming up. It's a good football team, and the Jets coming here, obviously beating us last time, and, you know, that's a really good football team coming in here, division rival. And so, you know, yeah, it's good to, you know, have control of your own destiny, but we got to continue to, you know, take that one day at a time, one game at a time approach, and be able to handle business this weekend, you know, in order for it to stay that way.
How does their offense look different since Mike took over?
Yeah, obviously, you know, he's feeding the ball to a bunch of different guys. You know, he's distributing the ball throughout the entire offense. He's making quick decisions, and you can tell, you know, it almost seems like the energy of the football team is a lot higher, playing at a higher level, you know, than previously. So the guy, you know, you respect a guy like Mike White, who's came into the league, and, you know, he's done some amazing things over the course of his career. And I'm sure some throws he wished he had back, but he's thrown for over, you know, 250, 300 yards in the last couple games, and, you know, had a chance to win the game last week against the Vikings. And so, you know, it's a solid, really good offense coming in here. We're going to have to play well to win.
You guys picked him off four times last year. The first time you played him, and he was coming off a hot stretch. Do you notice anything different this time around in the way he's playing?
Yeah, I think he's playing with a lot more confidence. Like I said, he's seeing his reads. He's getting the ball out of his hands. He's putting the ball where his receivers can get it and his backs can get it. And so, and then he's letting his playmakers make plays, you know. You know, Wilson, he's great. They all of them, with the, you know, I think they're – tied for fifth or sixth in the league for run after catch, you know, since Mike White has been at quarterback. So, you know, tackling is a huge emphasis. We're going to have to be able to tackle their really good running backs, and then their receivers, you know, when they make catches, we're going to have to be able to bring them down to the ground. So a solid football team. We're going to, like I said, we're going to have to play extremely well to win. Yeah, it's a young guy who's got a lot of feel for the game. You know, the way he moves, you know, I don't see why he couldn't in his future be a top wide receiver in this game. You know, the way he moves, the way he runs his routes, his run after the catch ability. You know, like I said, a young guy who's up and coming, and Mike White likes him. I think he's had, over the last two, three games, 25 targets or something like that. So the ball's going to him. And what he's doing after the catch is awesome too. So he's going to, like I said, it's a tough task. You know, when he catches the ball, we're going to have to get him down. And we're going to have to tackle well. We're all going to have to run to the ball and play well to win.
All right, that's Jordan Poyer addressing the media here after practice today. And you can feel the impact of the Vaughn news. It's like, oh, geez, really? Like, you know, they kind of anticipated having him back, but then it's quickly accepted for what it is. And you could almost hear Jordan from one answer to the next kind of flipping his mindset. And it is a mindset flip. Like, we move forward now knowing we don't have him.
Yeah, it's a bummer, and I think as a player, when that happens to you and you lose a really good player like that, it's like, man, you think, okay, what are we going to do? And then your mind switches to, well, okay, he's not going to play. This guy's going to play. These guys are going to play in his place. We got this game this week. We got to go. It turns into you feel bad for your friend real quick, and it switches completely away from football in regards to Vaughn. So for Vaughn, these guys is – a buddy who's not feeling well, you know what I mean? He's a sick friend, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you got work to do, but you can still care about your sick friend and in your off time kind of now. It becomes like that. So it's a very quick switch for these guys. They won't stumble over not having a player there. There's just too many guys who can really go on this team to worry about it. So while it is a personal loss for all these guys, you know, because Vaughn's not going to be on the field in game day, on the sidelines, in the game. It's going to leave a void in some respects for a lot of these guys. It'll be different for every guy because they interact with Vaughn differently. That's the battle, I think.
Yeah.
These guys got to fill a void left by a guy with Vaughn's presence. And they got to find a way to continue to be productive and even more productive without that.
Right. And Micah Hyde's another big void that they've had to fill since week two. I know he's been around, but he's not on right. The field. He's a presence, too. Ask anybody in that locker room, they'll tell you the same.
Right.
All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up some final thoughts on the tweet sheet. Anybody holding on the phones, we'll try to get to them as well here on One Bills Live. All right, we're going to go straight to the phones here as we've been asking you what role player will make the biggest impact against the Jets on Sunday and why. And we check in with Carol in Tonawanda. What do you got for us, Carol?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
You know, I think there's no doubt that our backup players are going to do a phenomenal job for us. I think they're ready and primed. But two players that I think are of interest to us are Matt Milano. He's just so dynamic behind that defensive line. And I see many times how the defensive line shifts for us to allow him to rush that quarterback. The also important player, I think, is Knox. If our receivers are going to be blocked downfield, I think those little shuttle passes, those 10-yard increments to move the ball down the field are going to be very important to us, as well as Singletary and Cook for our running game. And if I may, can I bring up a topic of our storm? I know we had the freak storm, the lake effect, and the importance to have to play in Detroit. I get it. I understand that. But I think the league needs to also examine the importance of allowing our Bills to play in Miami in 100-degree weather and 100% humidity and experience heat exhaustion. I think that's something that also needs to be looked at. You know, what are the limits? You know, can they play in a different type of arena? The
right.
Football is supposed to be based on the, you know, the ability and of the players, not necessarily home team advantage because of the weather. So that's something that I would like to, you know, just share with you. And
okay.
Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks, Carol. We're up See against the break. Appreciate it. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the competition committee looks at that, because there, maybe you move those games to 4 o'clock starts.
I'll say this, too. In my years all playing down there, we never had a game that bad that they did in week 3 this year. So yeah, it's as rare that that happens as it is the snowstorms here in Buffalo.
We're out of time. Field Yates and Xavier Rhodes on the show tomorrow. We'll see you at 1.